The Apostle James tells us, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord." Be patient. You're baptized. You're purchased from sin. And God promises never to leave you as orphans. Sounds easy. Difficult to do. Life and doctrine differ in that how you live doesn't always reflect Christian doctrine, that is to say, the teaching God gives us in Holy Writ. What is clear in Scripture, be patient, is hard for impatient, impetuous, anxious sinners. Just sitting through a church service without fretting over what you're going to do when it's over. It's a challenge for most of us. Things come quick in this age, and we like it that way. But sometimes, Christian, you just gotta wait. When a disease is crippling your body, you have no choice but to wait for healing, either in this life or at the resurrection. When God, in His mercy and His wisdom, allows you to go through a trial, I say to you, be patient. Because your patience is connected to something. For the Christian, patience is connected to something. There is a reason James says to be patient. He says that because he knows what is going to happen. In other words, he says, be patient because the Lord will come again. For the Christian, our patience is to be connected to the coming of our Lord. In other words, Christian patience is always connected to and flows out of the word and promises of God. So when you find yourself in a trial of some sort, whatever it is, you know them, be patient. God promises to bring you through it, and His ways will be right, and they will be for your good. God works all things for the good of those who belong to Him. Be patient. You rest in the hands of your Almighty God, who says nothing can separate you from His love because of He who died to redeem you and reconcile you to Himself, and who now presents you holy and without blemish because your sin has been atoned for. Be patient because you know how everything ends up. To live is Christ, to die is gain. God will come again in all His glory, and when He does, He tells His people, hold your head high because your redemption is drawing near. These promises, Christian, are the reason we can relax, breathe easy, not fret over things. Just to be clear, when I say be patient, I am saying stop your worrying. I am saying, stop coveting things that don't belong to you. I am saying, be patient and take your mind off earthly things, the things that rot and perish. Quit stressing about that which you cannot control and that which will not save you. Meditate on Christ. Set your mind on earthly things. Things that are above, not on things that are below, because it is the heavenly treasures that matter. It is Christ and His kingdom that matters. A kingdom that belongs to you. A kingdom that is yours by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. All of this sounds lucid, clear, wonderful to our ears. It's great, Pastor. We rest in His kingdom, have no need to fear what the world brings us. Sounds good. But I know you, and you know me. And if there's one thing about every human being, it is this. None of us are free from sin. And it is because of that stubborn old man, our sinful flesh, that causes us to forget and turn from God's holy word and all of His glorious promises. We forget who we are. We forget what he says. We doubt what he says. And so whenever we encounter that seemingly impossible problem, what do? And we worry. We get anxious. Stress. We fall into that frenzy of stress and anxiety, forgetting the God we serve, the God who loves us, the God who cares for us, the God who says to his people, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 46:10. Be still. That means stop worrying, panicking, shaking in a frenzy. Be still. Know that I am God. And just those two words, be still, how difficult that is for us to do. We hear his promise time and time again. He will not abandon us. He will not leave you to your sin and your despair. That's not what a good father does. Still, we wonder where he is at when we get the news we have maybe 4 months to live. Or a loved one dies unexpectedly. The spouse rouses you to anger. The children are not respectful. Your job is filled with difficult people who don't see things the way you do. Think about these situations and others. You have them in your mind, I know. Are you patient towards your neighbor? And the answer for all of us is hardly. We get anxious. We become afraid. We doubt and we forget. And we're not patient when the heavens and the earth are passing away. Friends, again I say to you, be patient. You belong to one who will not leave you. You belong to one who knows everything you're going through, every trial, every tribulation, every temptation. None of that is lost on your heavenly Father. He is not ignorant of you and your needs. If anyone in Christendom had reason to be impatient and even abandon the faith, it's Job and the prophets. Now, we know Job well, don't we? Yeah, faithful guy, had it pretty good. But then he goes through a time of affliction, physically, spiritually, almost to the point of abandoning it all, giving up the faith, cursing God, and being done with the Christian life. As a sidebar, if you ever think your life is bad, read Job and what he went through, and then you'll realize, I don't have it quite so bad. But Job was patient, and when I say he was patient, what I mean by that was that Job remained faithful. He remained steadfast in the faith, not by his own strength and merit, but by the grace God bestowed him. Job knew and Job believed. He served a God of the living, a God whom he would one day see in the flesh. Job knew and believed his Redeemer lives. And as he lives, so do his people. God is not a God of the dead, he is a God of the living. Job knew and he believed. The Lord is compassionate and merciful to save, even in the darkest hour of his life. Along with Job, James also mentions the prophets. And who can think of the prophets without thinking about Isaiah? Isaiah preached, and he preached, and he preached, only to see his people fall further and further, further away from the truth, deeper into the sin, until the point Israel is ripped from her land and placed under pagan rule. If you're looking for a ministry that is to be called successful by the numbers, don't look at Isaiah. Oh no. He was faithful. He preached and proclaimed only to see Israel ignore his pleas for repentance and faith. But friends, even still, even throughout all of this, despite the blind eyes and the deaf ears, the suffering and affliction Isaiah went through, by the grace of God, he remained faithful. By God's grace, he was steadfast. He knew God would preserve his church. He knew God would preserve and protect for himself a remnant, the body of believers who trust in the promises of God and look to God alone for mercy and life, not the false gods of their pagan neighbors. Tonight wraps up the midweek Advent services, but certainly the call for Christians to be patient and wait is ongoing. Christ will come, friends. In the meantime, be patient, knowing you are forgiven and salvation is stored up for you. As bad as it was, getting back to Isaiah, as bad as it was in his ministry, the people still were not without God's promise to save. In chapter 35, Isaiah says, there will be water in the desert. He says, the dry grounds, the parched lands in the wilderness shall blossom and have pools and springs of water. He writes, water and streams will run through the desert. Ravenous beasts and anything unclean will not inhabit the highway of holiness. Now, to God's people who lived in an arid desert, this had to have sounded like glorious news. Water in a desert. Water in a place where if you do not have water, you are as good as dead. This text, however, is not about successful irrigation, though. This text is not about well digging. This text is about the coming kingdom of God. A kingdom that is about life. A kingdom that is about living water. The well that never runs dry. The place where God's children reside. This kingdom, again I say to you, this kingdom belongs to you right now by faith in your King, our Savior Jesus. In Christ, friends, in Christ we find the promise that Isaiah is giving us. In Christ we find those waters of life in a parched land. In a world that we live in, a world inhabited by ravenous beasts and evil, sin and iniquity, those of you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, you have it in the wellspring of life, the living water. And his name is Jesus. He comes into this world with flesh and blood and gives it all on Calvary's cross, from where blood and water pour from his side to wash you of your sins and be for you that living water that every sinner parched from their sin needs. Christian, this is why we are patient. We are patient because we have hope. We are patient because our Lord and our God has revealed himself to us in the person of Jesus. He has declared unto us, all who hunger and all who thirst find their satisfaction in Christ and Christ alone. In Jesus, your thirst is quenched. He is that living water by whom we wait in peace for everything God has freely and without merit stored up for you. Amen. Now the grace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.